Hello, everyone. A good morning to you. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion with the beautiful subject of love this morning. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, in the United States of America. And we welcome you all. And we will begin with our morning prayer.
I'm reading from page 139 of Divinity Course in General Collectanea and 193 of Watches, Prayers, and Arguments. Love is a mighty spiritual force. Let the good you can do and the stimulation of action keep your mind from dwelling on the past, for the present demands your care, and you must go forth to meet the future calm and strong. God is your refuge and a strong deliverer. He will hide you under his wings till the storms are past and the sunlight of his presence cheers and invigorates you with new strength and exaltation. Yes, he who clothed the lilies will tend you and gird you with strength in truth and love, and so establish the labor of your hands in his vineyard. Never distrust, never doubt the all love, for it never faileth. As your day, so shall your strength be. Be patient, and let faith grow stronger and stronger each day of this pilgrimage. Divine love governs. This is the law of Christ, and it is fulfilled and cannot be reversed. Mary Baker Eddy.
Beautiful. Thank you. All right, Karen, the watching point.
Watch number 476. Watch that you hold a right concept of what denials accomplish in Christian Science. Once a student had a pain. He denied it and prayed to be shown where he had erred. He asked God to teach him the lesson he needed to learn, but the pain persisted. Finally, he prayed, "Oh God, rock me to sleep in your arms." At once, the pain disappeared. He learned that our work with error or our denials do not heal. The pain left when he sought a positive sense of good in which the error was submerged, as it were. This is why Mrs. Eddy once said, "Never leave a treatment until consciousness is baptized in love."
Thank you. All right, comments.
Seems like it's such a common human trait to always be looking for a cause for, you know, your pains and ailments and maladies, whatever. But Mrs. Eddy has made this very clear through her revelation of Christian Science that there's only one cause, and that's God good. So we could be running around in circles wondering, like, oh, what did I do to make this happen? When what we really need to do is focus on God's allness and his goodness, and that's reality.
Could I add something?
Yes, go ahead, Zari.
This is so beautiful, you know, both readings, but this cannot be reversed. I was up in prayer tonight about the situation in Beirut, because yesterday on The Guardian, on the BBC, they showed a street that I had spent time on where a friend went to pick up her glasses, her driving glasses. And I just wanted to say, you know, I work with my practitioner who always tells me God is love. This lesson is about God is love. So there can't be anything but the love of God going on, and there can be no reversals in this love. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Zari. Bruce. Anyone else?
Yeah, so I just really like that watch.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that watch was helpful to me because I realized as I was praying on some things this week that my prayer was a little too lopsided and it was too much denial and, you know, kind of that just refuting the claims, but it's kind of like the man who swept out his house and then more came in. It's like if you don't fill it up with something, then, you know, you don't have something there that's doing the healing. And you know, she talks about pouring in truth through flood tides of love. And I also remembered that Mrs. Eddy, one of her most remarkable healings, when she talked about a cancer that had eaten to the jugular vein. I think it was, she said this when she was just so overwhelmed with the sense of God's love. So this was really very helpful to me because that is the power that heals.
Thank you. Lawrence?
You know, I was thinking of the one denial and 10 affirmation thing, which emphasizes leaving this whole treatment in love. And also the fact that we can never leave a treatment in the negative or the end of it in the negative. It's always the positive, God's presence and power. And if we feel this love, I mean, it's always fear really that keeps it going. And feeling the love of it's got to go.
Yes. Thing.
This also reminds me of when Gilbert Carpenter went to help Mrs. Eddy when he first arrived there, and he was wondering what he was going to do if he got sick. And he learned that the way to handle that was to just pour out love out, you know, I just see the whole universe, as Mrs. Eddy says, bathed in love, and he just poured out love to everybody, and that always handled any situation that came up with him. So I thought of that too, that's how that was answered through his love for mankind.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. Job was healed when he prayed for his friends.
Yes.
And whatever, it's in the lesson this week too, whatever holds thought in line with unselfed love receives directly the divine power. I always start my watches with that because a watch is unselfed love. You're not praying for yourself. And as you do that, you are receiving directly the divine power. Anyone else? It's important to understand, however, you know, that Mrs. Eddy says a lot of things. She talks about mental anatomy. Sometimes it is important to check your thinking and make sure you're not holding in thought anything unlike the anointed. Cleanse yourself of that. But the end result should always be the sense, the overwhelming sense of the love of God. But sometimes we do go through steps. There's the relative and the absolute. It doesn't mean ever, though, that you get down on yourself and you go on a witch hunt looking what you've done wrong, and then you find out what you've done wrong, and then you hate yourself, which is what some people do. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose is just to release yourself from hatred or resentment or things like that.
Yeah, more than mine wants you to think that you're just not worthy of the healing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not true. And many people in the Christ, Mrs. Eddy, they were in such a state that they didn't need to have to go through that process. They had totally cleansed themselves from all of that. And they were in that divine state of love. Some of us need to be a little at it, though. Go ahead.
I think also, you know, you can be tricked into going to Google and looking up all the different reasons why this symptoms should be carrying on, and that's a danger because it, you know, those whatever you find out kind of sticks in your thoughts, and you so you're in it instead of letting it, you know, rejecting it or, you know,
yes,
working from the point of view of perfection. You're rather, you know, why do I have this and why do I have that? It's just one of those things that can happen.
Yes, and you might as well go to a doctor because you're looking for the
symptoms instead.
Well, mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're looking at all of that. And I always say, I tell my own self, that you go to the great physician, the great and only physician. He'll tell you whatever you need to know. And he, of course, will heal you of all things. And in truth, you've never slipped away into any erroneous belief. You've always been held fast in his love. And that is the absolute truth.
And I think ultimately, Lenny touched on it. The key point is, what is your consciousness full of? Because God is our consciousness. And if our consciousness is full of God, then there's no room for anything else unlike God to enter it. But if our consciousness is full of fear or false beliefs, or, you know, we see a picture of illness or something like that in our consciousness, yes, there is a room for denial. It's like the first step. If you are, you know, hit with a picture that is ungodlike, you it's okay to deny it vehemently. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But then you can't leave your consciousness with a vacuum, because something will always fill the vacuum, and that is why, after the denial, you have to have your 10 affirmations of truth. And when your consciousness is full of the truth, that is when the healing takes place.
And this is when, what Mrs. Eddy says in her short article, what our leader says about keep your thoughts so filled with life, truth, and love, and then nothing else can enter. And that's always the goal to keep in mind. And in this beautiful responsive reading, part of it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family is in heaven and earth is named, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. And then, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." That's what we're talking about, fill ourselves up full with the allness of Christ, with those beautiful thoughts that he gives us.
And this is what it means to pray without ceasing. You know, it's not like you sit in your chair and, you know, put your fingers to your forehead and drill on. No, whatever you're doing. And this is work. I mean, I wish I could do it well, better.
I loved Izzy gave a testimony about it and said that, you know, we had discussed it at a round table. I don't remember who it was that brought this up, but when they were asked, you know, what do you think of your whoever, your daughter-in-law, your neighbor? She says, I don't think, I just love. And that's so beautiful. Because we do meet a person and we'll think, oh, he's this, he's that, or the next thing. Instead of just loving them. And especially initially, it's so important. Just love the person you're meeting. Don't critically, I wonder if I'll know. Don't think that's for a while. No, just love them. And they'll feel that. They'll feel that.
And the world will be a much better place for it.
Yes. You know, and I hear it quite often, actually. You know, people want to see us. They want to meet us here in Plainfield. They want, why don't we put us on video? Well, why? And what are you going to do? Sit there, look at her. She's short. She's tall. I mean, you know that's what you're going to do. It's just the human mind doing it. You know our voices. That's enough. And if you want to come meet us, come meet us. But no, we're not sending our pictures or our videos. It's not necessary. as far as I'm concerned.
Find us in our works, just like Mrs.
Eddy. Yes, yes, find us in our works.
And our purpose here is not to promote any personality anyway.
Absolutely.
It's a message of Christian Science. That's why we're here.
Indeed. So, all right. Well, there was an article. Carrie sent me many beautiful ones this week, but one I particularly love that I'm going to go over because there's so much in it, including it goes along with the watching point. And it's called As Little Children by Louise Knight Wheatley. And she starts, "It is always a joy to older workers to see what children are accomplishing in Christian Science. Mrs. Eddy has called them the hope of our race." Pulpit and Press, page 9. "And we surely we may rejoice in that which is regarded as our mature consciousness. There is found the same simple, unquestioning faith which characterizes the child of thought and the child nature." And then a mother who had been studying Christian Science for about 2 months said to her little boy, who was manifesting a very discordant physical condition, "What shall we do, dear? Mother used to give you medicine for that, but we mustn't do that anymore, must we?" "No," said the child, "now we are scientists. You must give me a treatment." "But I don't know how," said the mother anxiously. "I do," was the unexpected answer. "I heard about it in Sunday school yesterday. You must always begin everything by remembering that God is love." He explained to his mother as best he knew and then went off to his play, perfectly satisfied, and in less than 10 minutes, the ailment was overcome. One to whom the mother told the story found much to think about in the little incident, for she began to wonder whether, in the face of all discordant conditions, she too always began everything by remembering that God is love. If this were always done and done perfectly, would not all else follow as an inevitable consequence? Think about it. Do you begin everything with God is love? God is love. God is all. Hence, divine love is all. There is no other power or presence. From this also, it must logically follow that anything which does not accord with love and its perfect laws is not true. Now here we go. This is a good treatment. It has no foundation, principle, permanence, life, substance, entity, or reality. Therefore, it is not to be believed in, nor is there anybody to believe in it. How quickly error melts away before the touchstone of the question, did love do it? For instance, if a thing is not right, it is obvious that love could have had no part in it. If it is not just, love does not uphold it. If it is not true, love cannot support it. For love maintains only that which is like itself. That which was ever supported by love has always been supported by love and will continue to be throughout eternity. Love never faileth, and that's Corinthians. Would it be in the nature of love to start things going and then leave them to take care of themselves? Would love give us work to do and then fail to show us how to do it or take it from us? Would love give us something beautiful and right and then allow it to be snatched away from us just as we were about to take it? Would love lead us a part of the way and then desert us at the darkest place in the path? Would love send us on some holy mission and then let us pay a penalty for going? Would not love be less than love if it sent a message of hope to a weary world and then failed to protect the messenger who carried it? The trouble is that our understanding of God is limited. We are ready enough to say with our lips that God is love, but do we really believe it? It is not those who simply say, "Lord, Lord," that shall enter the kingdom. For if we say God is love, we must believe it. Or else we are saying what we do not think is true. And if we do believe it, we must prove it. And the only proof that Christian Science accepts is demonstration. And then, if God is love and the real man is God's reflection, as Christian Science teaches, then it follows that the only man there really is the reflection, the expression, the manifestation of love, and hence is loving, lovely, and lovable. Now, that's something Mrs. Evans gave us years ago, something to work with. She said, you work with that every day, that you are loving, lovely, and lovable as the image and likeness of God. This is me speaking here, but, you know, it's important to remember that. You think God is love, but, you know, you're not. And you're not lovely, lovable, and loving. Well, that's impossible if you're his image and likeness. How many of us, by our every word and act, prove that we are honest, that we honestly believe this to be true? And then this is such a beautiful story. And yet, how quickly the child thought proves what it believes by demonstration. A little boy telephoned his father that he had been bitten by a squirrel. "My hand hurts so, and the boys say it will all swell up," he said. In the simplest words at his command, the father told the child that all ideas of God loved each other, that the squirrel did not really want to hurt him, nor could he be hurt by the squirrel, because he too was an idea of God. "But I want to see you," begged the boy. "Won't you come home?" The father promised, telling the child to remember in the meantime what he had said. When he reached home about an hour later, the boy was gone and nobody knew where he was. About dinner time, he appeared and, seeing his father, exclaimed, "Oh, I forgot you were coming home early. I was out looking for the squirrel. I thought I would feed him some nuts just to show him that I was sorry. I hated him for biting me." And the hand was well. O divine love, who carries the lambs in thy bosom, may he whom the world calls older and wiser ones rejoice to sit at the feet of a little child like this, remembering in all humility the Master's words, "Except ye become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of God." And that beautiful healing of that little boy, that goes along with never leave a treatment until consciousness is baptized in love. He baptized that treatment in love by going out and looking for the squirrel to give him nuts and let him know that he was sorry that he hated him for biting him. And that's how it is. So remember, with all that you do, that you never go around, yes, leaving it in the negative, as Mrs. Eddy says, but to baptize it in love. And that is what cleanses you and fortifies you and makes you ready for the next task at hand. Now, along with that, and I want to mention about the little squirrel biting him, we do our daily metaphysical work. And Mrs. Eddy said we should include animals, all things, plants, animals, everything comes under the control of God. And there's this belief, you know, that animals or bugs or other things can harm you. And I find it especially in the summer when you're out in the woods or wherever you are sometimes, you need to be handling this. Because mortal mind says that, yeah, like a squirrel could bite you and hurt you, or a bug could bite you and hurt you. So on page 141 in Teaching and Addresses, and I've given this before, but it's important, by Edward Kimball, he says, "Microbes, germs, bacilli, rats, insects, pests. Declare the usefulness of all God's created ideas, and further declare that none of these ideas desired to harm or destroy your house, goods, or flesh. This demesmerizes the insect or the animal. God does not kill, love does not kill." And then illustration given, worms on vines, complaint made, and I declare the usefulness and harmlessness of all God's ideas, worms departed, I do not know where. Now, I love that. Demesmerizes the insect or the animal. They've been mesmerized because of what mortal mind has said about them, right? Mm-hmm. That's a mesmerism. It's not the truth. And it's important to know this all the time when you're doing your daily work.
Indigenous people, like in jungles and so forth, that live there all the time, they don't get bitten because they have a respect. And then hunters or whatever go in, and they're miserable from the insects.
But, wow.
But that's the truth, yeah.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and then this, and this is in Science and Health, page 514 to 515, where Mrs. Eddy says, the individuality created by God is not carnivorous. As witnessed the millennial state pictured by Isaiah, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down and with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Understanding the control which love held over all, Daniel felt safe in the lion's den, and Paul proved the viper to be harmless. All of God's creatures, moving in the harmony of science, are harmless, useful, indestructible. A realization of this grand verity was a source of strength to the ancient worthies. It supports Christian healing and enables its possessor to emulate the example of Jesus. And God saw that it was good. So there we are. And are we doing it? Because it's really easy not to. And, you know, to know in your home that no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. And, you know, sometimes if it does and you can't handle it metaphysically, sometimes you do need to. Mrs. Evans was very strong about that. Do something so that you're not overtaken by whatever. But it's better to know the truth about them so it doesn't happen in the first place. It doesn't have to.
Yeah, God gave them a right place, just like he gave us the right place.
Yeah. And it's not... I'm sorry, what was that?
No, I was just saying everything has its right place. That's all.
Yes.
Everything has its right place.
Yes. And knowing that is a mighty power. And just as Kimball built that problem with the worms in the garden, you know, we can be knowing this. But it's better to be proactive than to wait till things happen and then you've got to take other means and methods, perhaps, or perhaps not. But we know how Mrs. Eddy prayed for her yard, her garden. She had beautiful gardens. You know, she would heal trees, right? They would be...
Blossom in the winter.
Blossom in the winter, yeah.
Transplanted large trees in the middle of the heat of the summer, and they thrived.
There were also cases of plants in the basement that thrived without the sunlight. Well, her thought was so attuned, as we started off talking about, with love and the truth. And she did. She brought heaven on earth. And we all can do this, and we all should be doing this, various degrees, but as best we can. So, Chardell, you give us what you wrote about love.
This is Vignoyan. I'll read this part of it.
No, read all of it. It's beautiful.
Okay, all right. Love more. All the time, love more. And then more. And don't... it be sentiment, but love, just love, the love which teaches compassion, where nobody is condemned, where nobody is for a single moment cast out of heaven, but is always being redeemed. There is nothing in the universe that can withstand the power of love, infinite love, and when you think it and say it, mean it. When you really think and feel love, you don't have to do something to your voice. If your thought is right, nobody can escape the redeeming influence of that thought.
It's beautiful. Bicknell Young. I was talking to Gary earlier about, well, this year is a very pivotal year and a lot is going on. Most of the time it will appear to be the reign of Jezebel, but where sin doth abound, grace much more abounds. So we know grace is abounding. Some of it we don't hear about. But I do know of people losing their homes or on the verge of losing their homes. This idea of not having enough. So this too, we must work on daily. We have a generous, abundant God. We've been taught that he's not, or that, you know, we don't have enough funds for this, that, and the next. And it is true, with inflation and everything, the cost of things are rising. And all of this must stop. This is not God's plan, and it does not have to be. If it's not God's plan, there's a way for it not to be happening. So we pray on these things. And again, as we said, the insects have a right place. So does everybody. Everybody has a right place and is entitled to that right place. And they cannot be misplaced or out of place or out of the direct line of God's abundant love.
Exactly.
And this, knowing this, will do tremendous things. It will reach the receptive heart. We won't ever hear about it. That's why, look, our work isn't doing any good. Well, how do you know? are you all presence, all power, all? You don't know. And that is a negation of God's work. So don't ever think that. Of course your work is successful, and it is meeting. You might never know who, what, or how, but it is. And to question in that way is a sin. You're questioning God and his all power.
And it's a claim that came to you for life, and you gave it life.
And you gave it life. So never, don't ever say that. I've heard that, look, this isn't going, you know, this didn't work. It did work. We don't even know the ways. And what were you saying about our watches, Jeremy, about how there's so many, you kept a list of how...
Well, yeah, sort of a mental list, I guess. But I remember years ago, many years ago, there was a sure thing that there was going to be a war with Syria, and it was all over the news. And we had a watch, and I swear I didn't hear one more thing about it. it was done, and that has been so many cases, so many,
and that's true. When they, and we try to get it out as soon as possible, when they start predicting flu season or other things. We have stopped a lot of those things. They've never come around. There have been many storms we've stopped. Sardell keeps a record on that.
Yeah.
Definitely. And each storm, it's always touted as the most dangerous storm. Or the, you know, there was a headline the other day saying two storms are targeting New Jersey. And that word targeting was like, though they had their own intelligence.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, I'm coming to New Jersey.
Right. I'm coming for you. Which is not right, not happening.
That's why media, honestly, most of it, if not all of it, is propaganda. It really is propaganda. And they are trying, they are selling what they want sold. And if you listen, it's confusion worse confounded. And that's why so many people are, you know, upset or in the depths of despair or whatever, because they're listening to all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And most of it is not true, if not all of it. It's certainly why Mrs. Eddy had the Christian Science Monitor, but even that now has been infiltrated. So,
Parsons mentioned a long time ago the concept of a negative watch, and that's what I feel about the media. They're the negative.
Yes.
You know, they're trying to undo. I think it's Watches, Prayers, and Arguments where Miss A talks about More to Mind tries to make a law that'll be active for 6 months and all that kind of thing. And that's, you know, they're doing that constantly.
Yeah, they're doing that constantly. And And we know the whole pandemic, that was all media. It was just to mesmerize populations into believing it, into fearing it. They put this fear in you and over and over and over. And if this was going to happen, that. And people that listened were just mesmerized to their eyeballs. And now I have heard, and I, you know, we can handle it, that they're going to do another one. Another one's coming up. It's to gain more control, to weaken us, to get us looking toward the medical and instead of to God. But guess what's happening? Things get so bad, everyone is turning to God. They have to. There's no answer. Then you hear all the stuff about the vaccines. There's no answer in Materia Medica. But they're predicting another one this winter, perhaps, to weaken us, weary us. So we'll be prepared. We'll be stronger than ever. A tool in one hand and a weapon in the other. And we will not listen to the false reports. Because that's the doubt would be disloyalty.
Mrs. Eddy warns us, didn't she? Wicked minds are working 24/7. But that wicked mind has no power if we don't give it any. That's why if our work is divine, if in our watches our consciousness is filled with the love of God and the power of that love, they are effective. Because God is effective. This is not a personal thing. If your work is good, it will have its effect.
She also tells us that on the watches thing, that evil minds and hypnotists do not govern men and government.
Yeah, government. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, it's all mesmerism. That was what was one of the things that was so beautiful about that article I was reading, where it talks about love. Love, and nothing can oppose it. There's nothing that can oppose God. There really is nothing except our belief in it. As Jeremy said earlier, and that's a quote from Mrs. Eddy, error comes to you for life, and you give it all the life it has. And if you do, it will seem to govern you, and you'll think it's real, and then it will seem to manifest itself in you in your life, and you'll really believe it's real, but it's not. And you can prove it.
Just read germ in Herbert Houston, and that'll settle it. There's one germ, and do you love that one germ? Yeah. It's God.
Yes.
That's it,
because because God is all. So how could there be
anything unlike God?
Yes. But you see, always, love is the answer. And in one of our watches, you know, it's beautiful about never fear a lie. So why would we fear a lie? Why would you fear, you know, you're going to get sick and die? That's a lie. Why would you fear that? Tell me, why would you?
If you believe it, you fear it.
Yeah. And even if you believe it, and even if it seems to happen, it's just a dream that you'll eventually wake up from. It's not the reality of life. But why dream that dream? Bruce?
Well, people are pressing to find the antidote for things, but love is the antidote. And like Shardy read earlier from Bicknell Young, the answer is to always love more. And that's where the answer is. If you don't mind me reading one more thing. I found this in Irene Moore's book, Harmony of Being, where there was a physician that made a statement. He said, I've been practicing medicine for 30 years and I've prescribed many things, but for most of what ails the human creature, the best medicine is love. This physician was asked, but what if it doesn't work? And the physician replied, you double the dose. And that's
who is Irene Moore?
She was a practitioner who was excommunicated, wrote a book. Tom sent us this book, Harmony of Being.
Thank you.
And what this physician said was in perfect consonance with the scripture that reads, charity never faileth.
Thank you.
All the other methods fail, but there's one that doesn't fail, and that is the love that we've been talking about.
Yes.
I like that. Just double the dose.
Double the dose.
And that's what, if you go to the great physician for help, that's what he will tell you. It's all about the love and to love more. And that will heal anything you might think is not right in your body. Of course it would, because it's all power. And in truth, there is nothing wrong with your body because you're the temple of the living God. That's what body is. In Science and Health of this week's lesson, you know, she talks about how important it is. Well, the lesson is beautiful. It starts out, the vital part in heart, the heart and soul of Christian Science is love. If that's not there, it's not Christian Science. And we have seen on the internet, books and other things, if Christian Science is abused by mere smatterers in science, it becomes a tedious mischief maker. Instead of scientifically effecting a cure, it starts a petty crossfire over every cripple and invalid, buffeting them with a superficial and cold assertion, "Nothing ails you." Now, this is not Christian Science, is it? So all these books, you know, that have been written about how horrible Christian Science is, that's not Christian Science. And if anybody read the textbook, they would know it's not. And what did that go to Jeremy? What did your mother tell you when you had a...
Oh, yeah. I had hurt myself, and she told me I needed to love God more, which I didn't know anything about Christian Science at the time. And even though she was right, even she didn't know why she was right. And it really turned me off for a long time, I gotta say.
It's quite amazing. I mean, and Jeremy has said it, that he's here doing this work because he had been so turned off by Christian Science, by this lack of love.
Yeah, nobody saw this coming except for God, I guess, and I guess Mary.
Well, and once they see the right example and they know that this is not Christian Science, and she states it very clearly in this practice of Christian Science, and starting out with what story does it start out with?
Mary Magdalene.
Mary. Yes, which is such a beautiful story.
The repentance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So.
Go ahead.
I'd just like to say, I think this is also the influence of authorized literature, because it suppresses information that on how to practice Christian Science, which then opens up Christian Scientists to being criticized. So these books write about real problems, things, terrible things that are happening in Christian Science. And I think a lot of what has driven that is the focus on authorized literature and suppressing a lot of good stuff out there.
Yes. Yeah, because these people that are being suppressed, like Martha Wilcox Carpenter, I mean, they knew Mrs. Eddy. They worked with her. It would be like not letting the disciples say anything about Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll just wipe out the New Testament. We don't want anybody to know about that. Well,
yeah,
thanks a lot.
That time.
It was only for that time. People won't understand it. You know, maybe they didn't copy it down exactly the way he said it, heaven forbid. So we won't let it out there. I mean, to think, I thank God every day for those books. Thank you, Tom. We wouldn't know the importance of watching. For heaven's sakes, what could be behind that? So, okay, we're going to have all Christian Scientists not know to watch, not know how to watch, not know anything about watch. That is malicious animal magnetism. Malicious. And I talked to someone recently, if that's all the organization did, and animal magnetism did, that would have been enough. So thank you. Those books are so important. They were her disciples. They had a voice. They were taught by her. And in the Carpenter book, he says, yes, it's very important. Science and Health and Prose Works, Mrs. Eddy's works of the Bible. But then he says it's important to see her example, how she lived it. And that's what he does in his books. He teaches us how she lived it, what it was like to be in her household. It's so important. And yet, my God, they did everything they could to suppress those Carpenter books. By the grace of God, we have them today. So I thank God for that. And thank God for the internet and for a whole different way of embracing this beautiful science. All right, Nancy, share with us what you have.
Ephesians. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us. Walk as children of light. And the scriptural meaning of walk from Webster's is to live and act or behave, to pursue a particular course of life, to walk with God, to live in obedience to his commands, have communion with him, to walk in the light, to live in the practice of religion, and to enjoy its consolations or comforts. To walk by faith, to live in the firm belief of the gospel and its promise, and to rely on Christ for salvation. And from Daily Verse Commentary, to walk in love. The factors relating to this verse are connected with holy living, godly behavior, gracious speech, and a grateful and a forgiving heart. We are exhorted to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God has forgiven us. We are called to be imitators of God as beloved children, to walk in love in the same way as Christ also loved us. We are to be like him in thought, word, and deed. And to walk as children of light, our union with Christ has brought us into the light of his grace and truth. And the fruit of the Spirit should be manifest in all that we say and do. Let us walk in the light as he is in the light, so that the fruit of his love will be displayed in all that we are. Let us live our lives as children of the light, so that the light of the glorious gospels of grace may be a witness to the world that we are children of God and partakers of his divine nature. May we live in such a way that others see our holy conduct and glorify our Father in heaven and rejoice evermore and give never-ending thanks and praise for the work that he has done within us. May we walk as children of light and shine the light of love, of God's goodness and grace into the lives of all that we meet. I thought that was perfect. Way to live.
Thank you. Yes. And the idea, you know, the woman washing Jesus' feet, where the Pharisees had been so cold and unloving, but she hadn't, with tears of repentance, this idea of serving and ministering. And an article by McCracken called I Serve, which is another beautiful article, he says, the desire to serve bursts the shell of selfishness, lifts the burden of belief, which would impose upon mankind a weighty sense of cannot, and cuts short the tendency in human nature to fatten on the words and works of others without contributing to the common weal. Service makes doers and not merely preachers of the word, and stamps Christianity as practical and immediately available. The union of noble leadership and unremitting service is beautifully illustrated in our own day by the life of the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, who bids scientists to follow their leader. What? Yes, message from 1902. And Charity, what did you find as a definition of ministering? And
well, in first in 2 Corinthians, it had we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain, and then, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience. And then it's all over the Bible. I didn't even realize that. It was quite an awakening for me. It says things like the minister of God, the angel messenger of God is a minister. And who maketh his angel spirits, his ministers, as flaming fire.
Thank you. Thank you. And everywhere we go, we should be ministering to others. That beautiful poem at the end of Retrospection and Introspection by A.E. Hamilton. Ask God to give thee skill and comforts art, that thou mayest consecrated be and set apart unto a life of sympathy. For heavy is the weight of ill in every heart, and comforters are needed much of Christ-like touch. So we will end now with an
article by Harold Multer entitled Progress and Experience. And he writes, step by step, with true humility, strength, and courage, the Christian Scientist proceeds on his way, demonstrating as he goes the beauty of holiness. In whatever circumstances he finds himself, he should be the reflection of good, which heals and blesses even those who curse it. Give us this day our daily bread, our Master prayed. The Christian Scientist, as he advances into the realm of spirit, finds added responsibilities and privileges to demonstrate the mind of Christ. He must be on his guard every moment and ready to answer the call of the needy, the sick, and the sinner. He remembers always the meekness and tender affection of Jesus toward the woman who, breaking in upon the feast, began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head. What a lesson to all humanity. Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost, pouring forth the riches of his pure affection upon her who was regarded as an outcast. His rebuke to Simon and all who indulge self-righteousness is of solemn import to the Christian of today, and his words of love and forgiveness ring down the years. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. In their journey through this labyrinth of material existence, Christian Scientists are messengers of love. And wherever their footsteps may lead them, they will find work to do. Onward and upward, courageously and meekly, gladly and patiently, they realize that they are not dealing with flesh and blood, but with sacred things unseen to the human eye and unheard by mortal ear. Theirs is a work which is done for eternity. Theirs is the privilege of living the truth in the Master's service. And theirs is the joy of hearing, when the last enemy is overcome, the Heavenly Father's blessing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. This is the culminating experience which results from right progress.
Thank you all for joining us today.
I would like to thank everyone for their prayers regarding the weather system in the Gulf of Mexico and the safety and protection of all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.